second time in 6 months, Barrick Gold upstaged all of its competitors at a global mining conference with news that it's going after its largest rival, the biggest gold producer in the world, Newmont Mining. Bloomberg's Tina Davis joins me from New York. Nice to talk to you, Tina.
Thank you.
Barrick's offer is contingent upon Newmont not going through with its own takeover offer for Goldcorp, a $10 billion deal. Here's what Barrick's CEO, Mark Bristow, had to say about that merger.
What you've seen here is a classic M&A transaction where management is trying to entrench itself. Excessive break fees.
Right.
And we believe that this is a decision that shareholders should take.
So we've got two deals on the table, and many of the shareholders of both these companies are the same shareholders. So Barrick and Newmont really racing at this point to try to convince investors that their deal is best.
What could be better than a hostile takeover with such large personalities involved as this deal has? I mean, it's not only the sort of three-way marriage issue that you mentioned, but it's also two of the largest gold producers, two of the largest personalities in the industry, if I can say that. And as you mentioned, a lot of these investors that they're trying to win over to their version of what the best merger is are invested in both of the companies. So it's a really interesting fight that's playing out here.
And lots of differences between the two companies as to what has actually happened in terms of past history. Newmont CEO told me there was no need for Barrick to go hostile, that the two sides could have just sort of talked this through and found ways to cooperate around some of their adjoining assets in Nevada. Here's Newmont CEO Gary Goldberg.
It's a negative premium offer, and on top of that would add a lot of risk to Newmont shareholders in some very unattractive jurisdictions.
So that idea of zero premium is also coming up again and again with investors on both sides, and the idea of $7 billion in synergies, pre-tax synergies, which Barrick claims that they can find.
Yeah, and Barrick's giving a little bit more of information on those synergies since there were a lot of questions raised about how big that number was in comparison to the deal, which is, as initially laid out, only an $18 billion deal. And they're pointing to some of the tax savings that will accrue as part of this thing. But I also think it's interesting, if you look kind of at what both of them have been trying to accomplish, they're trying to sort of meld two gold producers in a time of rising gold prices. And Barrick, at least, has been saying, the history of this industry is that they overpay when gold prices are high. And that's what they're trying to avoid this time around.
Yeah, and in fact, they're saying, I think, as well that, the synergies are, in fact, the premium is what they would argue, although Newmont clearly disputes that. I guess to your point about the larger gold environment, a lot of the mid-tier gold companies, the smaller gold companies, are going to be meeting in Toronto next week. It's like the month of conferences. There is expected to be a pretty big scramble for some of the smaller assets that could be unleashed from either of these big mergers if they go through.
Yeah, I mean, there's a substantial amount. You call them small. I mean, these are big and multi-billion dollar assets that may be in play as part of this deal. And obviously, if the Goldcorp deal doesn't go forward, then they'll be talking about what happens next with that rather sizable company. So there are a lot of sort of moving parts associated with this deal.
Tina, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's what we're watching this week in Commodities in Toronto. I'm Danielle Bokov.